All right, welcome back to Two Song Podcast. This is Chris.
And this is Cam.
And this is a show where we transport every song ever into one of two categories, either love song
or fight song.
Yep, exactly right. And that little intro that you just heard is a Joshua Ray Walker song. I think it might be his biggest song right now. If you look at the numbers, he has one, which title I won't say, but it's a little bit more numbers. But I've seen this song in a lot of different places. And the song is called Sexy After Dark. And it was a single, but it also is on his 2021 album. And I was sent this song, actually. I don't know if it was for the pod, but somebody was like, you should look at this. So cool. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. And this is episode 127 of our show.
Yeah, it is. And welcome back. Thank y'all. We were thinking of doing like a Thanksgiving timed episode. And I thought, this is like how sick I am, but I was thinking about what, there aren't really Thanksgiving songs. And then this song was on my radar and on my mind. And I thought about how unsexy the holiday Thanksgiving is.
Yeah.
Like the food is all brown and beige and off-white and light brown and tan. You know, and maybe orange, maybe. And depending on if y'all in your family like cranberry sauce, maybe red. But I was like, dang, the food's like, some people make fun of the food, some people love it. But just sitting around in cozy clothes, overeating, to me, that's not sexy. So I thought it'd be funny to have like kind of a joke song about a person who isn't really sexy, but sometimes is.
I feel probably the least sexy on like the evening of Thanksgiving.
Same. Yeah. And I'm a big Thanksgiving enthusiast. I'm not one of these people that wants to go to war with other holidays over it. Uh-huh. But I like for it to have its time and its place, you know?
Yeah, same. It gets cut short and disrupted by Christmas a lot.
Yeah, it does. But how about this intro? That's, I don't know. We haven't had a song with an intro like that in a while.
Yeah. It's maybe more of a traditional actual intro. Mm-hmm. 15 seconds or more.
Yeah, just like get you into the song, give you like a lay of the landscape of what instruments are here. Mm-hmm. Like to me, I knew right away. I'll be honest, my father-in-law texted me this song and I could see the thumbnail. Mm-hmm. And also to me, if you got three names, like it only to me falls in certain genres. So I was like, I wonder. And as soon as it started playing, I was like, oh wow, like a modern country big band or modern like Dixieland band. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, which to me sounds so cool. And like I think they nail it. I think it's not really campy, like making fun of it. It's more like a tribute to it.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of what it reminds me of, and I think with all those horns it reminds me of A Sailor's Guide to Earth.
Oh man, yeah.
Just a Sturgill Simpson album.
Dude, that's a good pick. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, originally I thought Leon Bridges, but it's something more than Leon Bridges.
Yeah, it's a bigger sound and more country.
You know what I thought of also, and I mean this as a compliment to both of them, but to me, the music I've heard, which is more than two, like a handful of songs from Joshua Ray Walker, mm-hmm. is like Nathaniel Rateliff without trying so hard.
Yeah.
Because Nathaniel Rateliff, to me, seems like kind of a persona or kind of like always a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And he is on the shorter side and overweight and covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
But he'll still, I think, steal your girl. I mean, not anyone here necessarily, but just in the general second person, I think people like Nathaniel Rateliff, and I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But to me, Joshua Ray Walker has a similar sound and essence, but it's more like things a little younger, and I think it's more natural and like, oh, I really grew up this way.
Yeah,
I'm really a big guy that sings country and likes all these different influences.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of reminds me of Marcus King.
Oh, man, yeah.
The big guy.
Oh, yeah. Dang, you're right. Marcus King, yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of that. That's perfect. Nailed it. Well, I'm pumped on this song. Even though it's kind of a joke song and this is kind of a joke episode, I think this song still holds up. So,
yeah.
You ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I feel sexy after dark. My conscience finds it hard to see. I'll share pieces of my heart.
What a fun verse.
Yeah, I know, man. He's got a powerful voice.
Yeah, he does. Right whenever I got the text, I listened to it. Oh, watched the video, too. And I just texted, big voice for a big man. But I like how simple the rhyme scheme is. Like, to me, heart and smart are good rhymes and, like, predictable and kind of straightforward rhymes.
Yeah.
If you use them kind of like this to, like, compare and contrast the two.
Yeah,
because you could almost in a way say that those two shouldn't go together. And like I said, unless you're putting yourself in the middle or bouncing one off of the other, which I think is what that lyric is about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool couple of lines. And then dark almost rhymes with that.
Yep. Yeah. I like that we get the title and the hook early, and I like that we get it often. It's interesting because this song doesn't have a real straightforward structure. It could almost just be choruses and pre-choruses and choruses again, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But there is a little bit of variation in the lyrics and structure that I guess makes it, to me, like verses. But it's weird. Like, again, the hook is in the verse.
Yeah.
I like that he has so big and wide and broad of a voice, and he also oversings. Like, he does that thing that people either love or hate about country music, where the vowels are kind of chewed on and the syllables are stretched out.
Yeah, and kind of even separated sometimes.
Yeah, kind of even broken up, because you're like, well, the melody needs to take these steps, make these little falls and these little intervals. So, yeah.
You mentioned it kind of being a joke song. You think like he's kind of joking and having fun with it too, or just more for our purposes, or our pick as a Thanksgiving song?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea of it is knowing this about yourself a little bit, like a little bit of a humanistic or animalistic like urge, and or like a lack of inhibitions, and then making a whole song about it for fun, being like, dang, nobody really talks about that. I will, and I'll like, and to me the joke part is like hitting it head on. Like, I will run right into that thing that you know, people that live this lifestyle, like comedians and or like just musicians, people that perform, like, you don't clock in like the rest of us do until 7-8 p.m. So it just affects your body, and I'm sure they get used to it, but it is opposite for most of us. So
yeah, and you're spending the whole day like waiting for the show to happen, and then you do it and it's over, and you either like probably have like a high from it, or a crash from it. And so I think he's kind of more talking about the high, or just like feeling good about everything after a show or something.
Cool. Another thing, it reminds me a little bit of Waltz About Whiskey by, how does it work? Watch House Now. Watch House, formerly known as Mandolin Orange.
Right.
Yeah. Really similar idea, and started out as a joke song and ended up being a really pretty kind of straightforward song. But I think the line that does it for me is trading glances, clinking glasses till we part. That's so awesome to me. And it's like good imagery. Like, and maybe I'm being helped out a little bit by the music video, but I can just picture this differently from the music video, not necessarily exactly the way they shot it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen the music video, and it's still working, still.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, putting an image in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, cool. not a whole lot of lyrics, but a whole lot of sound.
yeah, very well said. Because, I'm glad you brought that up. It's kind of like one of those big band songs where some part needs to occur, get out of the way for the horns and the embellishments, and it just repeats. You know, it's that formula, like a call and answer, but not the same melody or similars. Like, we'll just, like I said, embellishment will just be there after you sing your lyric.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Nice. So you want to hear the chorus or pre-chorus?
Yeah. That section is so fun.
Yeah, I know. I know we've mentioned a lot of people already, but it kind of even just reminded me of Chris Stapleton a little bit. Which might have happened because when you said Walt's about whiskey, I was thinking about his Tennessee whiskey at first. But also maybe going way up and hitting that, but I play games, that, that high note is kind of Chris Stapleton-esque.
Yeah, big time. It totally is.
And there's like some slow, powerful guitar soloing happening between that we just heard in the interlude before another verse.
Yeah, like lap steel or pedal steel.
Right.
Which is hard to notice, honestly, with all the other stuff going on. Like, yeah. Until it gets its feature, it's there, and there's, like, someone playing keys, but there's so many horns and stuff. And then at the very end, it gets a little solo. Because it was doing things the whole time, and I couldn't pick out what it was at first.
Yeah.
I was like, is that a keyboard? No, that's not right. Yeah. I know, and it's like, if the verses are deliberate, like, line, you know, have fun with it, line, have fun with it. This section, the chorus, there's no hook, is very, like, everything right on top of each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost hard to make out at some parts because they're all building to this big moment, and there are big, like, breaths in it. Like, the you say that, like, that is so staggered. It's interesting. It, you know, like I said, even though the I Feel Sexy After Dark is the part, and probably, like, once he wrote the song, or if others were helping to make this decision, they were like, don't call it, but I play games. Don't call it games, you know, call it Sexy After Dark. Because it's just the best part. But it's cool to build all that big stuff up to then, like, drop the bottom out, you know, to hit the hook again.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I Feel Sexy After Dark is just, you know, the big idea. And it's kind of interesting. So, that they were probably hoping the title would kind of bring people in, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I like that section, but I'm kind of already ready for the verse again.
Yeah, me too.
I feel sexy after dark. The enemy I want to be. Anticipation is a bug.
Yeah, I like that's just like a different and kind of cooler, interesting version of the one that we already heard.
Yeah, you're right. And similar rhymes, like, even though glances and glasses isn't perfect, you know, they to take in as a whole, like a set of four, pretty darn good. Like three out of four being exact rhymes, like dances, trances, glances and glasses. Like, oh man, close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. And like you had said earlier, heart kind of goes with dark, but here there's, you know, instead of till we part, then this one is feel that spark, and that's a nice, like, you know, AR and the hard consonant at the very end.
Yeah.
That's, you know, nailed it.
And we have anticipation is a lost art.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the ones that, like you mentioned earlier, some of the syllables are like stopped or slowed down or like disconnected. Like, to me, that one, anticipation, gets a lot of that line, and then there's like a little, it's a lost art.
Yeah, you know? And then I like how he just like fits my at the end of the you saw you say you want to go my my vision dances.
Yeah,
but he like put it on the previous line. That's the kind of stuff I wish I could do to write songs. Like, I would just never think to like separate a word from the phrase that it belongs to, just for the sake of the meter, or the line.
I know. Yeah, I've thought of that too. Because I used to be very distracted by it and annoyed by it when songs would do it on the radio. I'd be like, that's so lazy. But I don't know, now it's become so much of a thing to almost do it well is the opposite.
Yeah.
Like you said, most people are too straightforward or too like one track mind thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Even songwriters. I mean, this is not a great example, but I go often to this example from Margaritaville, which I know a lot of people are like, whoa, how dare you? But I don't like Lost Shaker of Salt. I've never heard a person who's not insane say shaker of salt. People say salt shaker.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so you just wrote this chorus in a hurry, I guess. Like, I just don't like that. I don't like that lyric. I think it's backwards. Mm-hmm. But like most people are like, well, it has to rhyme. I could work on this lyric a little bit longer and twist it to a thing that says the exact same thing better. Yeah. But I'm not going to do that. And then so now, like you're saying, I would never as a songwriter think of letting that word hang off like that. Mm-hmm. But it really goes with the stuff right next, you know, the stuff right after it.
Right.
This is such a fun song. Like, it, to me, is not one that I really sing along with. It's hard to, because mm-hmm. he's such a good singer and he has a real twang.
Yeah.
You know, I notice a lot of country music, the twang kind of goes away and people will just like buy the twang or rent it or phone it in. Though, like, the music will do it for me and the lyrics will do it for me, and I don't really sing with the twang. It's like, oh well, that's nothing. That's called pop music.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like easy listening or light rock or something. But this, I just can't keep up with it. I don't have a twang. And or when I sing, I don't really. And I love it. And the only part I ever feel like singing is I Feel Sexy After Dark.
Yeah.
Because all the rest of it I cannot get. I'm like, yeah. What is he doing?
Yeah, same. And that's the part that like plays, like gets stuck in my head.
Mm.
It's just kind of on repeat. Mm. Yeah, I can kind of hear the horns around it, but it's really just looping that line.
Yeah, same. Because it's such a great melody and the words fit it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird idea. It's different enough and novel enough to be like, dang, I can't get that out of my head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Songwriting.
Oh, yeah. Dang, what do you feel like moving on to the chorus then?
Yeah. Yeah, is that a saxophone?
Mm-hmm. It's alto sax.
That's one of my favorite parts of the whole song. Maybe the best part.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm biased, but I think so too. It's just like, I don't know, comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's such a fun and like loose solo, but then there's also hints of like a little bit of sadness or something, like a little melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a good horn solo can do that, because I guess, and really all instruments could do it, but like I know there's a thing with harmonica where, say you're in the key of C. Yeah, gosh, boy, this is what people wanted. Like, oh, it's really deep. What's Joshua Ray Walker say? But anyway, if you're in the key of C, you can grab an F harmonica, and it will work, and then maybe some notes you have to dance around, but it will sound different enough and bluesy enough and jazzy enough to be like, oh wow, I think they call it cross harp. One, to play with instruments that aren't in their own key, like a keyboard or a guitar or even a bass, they can all play multiple notes at one time, but a horn can't. And some horns are there's a trick to them where they're in their own little mode. So sometimes when you play with people that can play multiple notes and play in any key, it forces you to like hit weird notes and transpose and things.
Yeah.
And so it will create these little, like you're saying, like little, why is it, I can't put my finger on why it sounds sad at that part, you know?
Yeah. It's like to do a run to like get to a certain part, you have to kind of like hit other notes that you normally wouldn't think about using.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, it's neat, but yeah, I love a good sax solo, and I think with the maybe just specifically saxophone, I would say and or trumpet, it's easy to do too much and have it sound like Saturday Night Live is starting.
Yeah,
you know, and they just go nuts.
Yeah.
But this is really tasteful, and it's in and out, and it's a neat, like, contrast to the lap steel.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit, like you said, it's fun, and it's a little bit more energetic, and I feel like it can be, because you, I don't know, that they're just, every instrument has their limitations, and a pedal steel will get really muddy and get really, it's like pounding too many keys at once on a piano.
Yeah.
They'll all be in there together, and you're like, I can't make them out, but again, the sax can only do one note at a time, so it's like you can just sling them all in there, which is so fun.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why, but I didn't realize this maybe until this time we got to this course. Is the whole thing after you say a quote, like, or he's paraphrasing, so maybe I shouldn't say a quote, but you say that you're, and then quote, always going to get your way, but I play games. Is that all one person? Or is it just one idea from the other person and then...
But the narrator,
yeah, the narrator plays games.
That's right. The latter is what I was thinking it was, but I guess it's kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, maybe the but gives it away, though, a little. The more I think about it, like...
Yeah, if you put but in a song, really supposed to be separating things.
And if somebody said that, like I just asked it, that wouldn't make a ton of sense.
Mm.
You're always going to get your way, but I play games. Or I'm always going to get my way, but I play games. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They seem like separate ideas to me. Mm-hmm. Like maybe because the narrator plays games, like maybe they just think they're getting their way.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the number, like the go-to default reading of it. What about his falsetto, though? We're talking about saxes. We're talking about lap steels, pedal steels. What about the way he just can do that? Like, on the games after it? That's so nuts.
Yeah. I know. It's very impressive. Very powerful.
Yeah. And it still sounds good. Like, he has the low voice and he has the twang, but his falsetto doesn't sound forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't sound like somebody that never sings falsetto and you're like, oh, it's horrible. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, you're calling stray cats. Like, it sounds, you know, crisp and clear with it.
Yeah, especially if he can, like, do it live or do it straight through.
Ooh, yeah.
Instead of just, like, taking the games as a separate recording. Because it's not easy for me to switch like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pro, I guess.
Speaking of, he is a pro. Well... as much as anybody can be a pro or something like this. But another reason why I kind of want to do him is he was just here. He played legendary, you know, rare, super special Grant's Lounge.
Wow.
Maybe 2 weeks ago.
Cool.
And I don't know. I thought about going, but I remember seeing that the tickets were, I would say, kind of high for Grant's Lounge in Macon. But, I mean, the guy has two hit songs or fairly big hit songs, maybe alt country hit songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, well, I don't know if I would want to pay that for a person I just found out about. And I probably should have gone, honestly.
Yeah, because whatever it costs, next time he's going to go to Atlanta instead or the Coliseum or something.
And usually live music is worth the, I mean, unless something goes wrong, usually it's worth it. Like,
yeah,
it would have been fun. It would have been cool. It would have been, honestly, too loud, probably, for Grant's. But that's part of, you know, going out and seeing something live.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I need to, like, take my own advice more. Like, whenever something like that is coming, just be like, I don't know. That's, like, 20-something. And I know, like, 5 songs. I really like 2. But so what? It's still going to be, like, live horns, live guitar. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, you might have found some new songs that you liked.
That's true. Yeah, or a guy like this could do probably some really cool covers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, well. Dang. Well, so we got like kind of a double interlude here, and then we got maybe one more half verse or something.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay.
after dark. Your conscience finds it hard to see. I'll share pieces of my heart.
Of that big pause, that big dramatic, you know,
yeah,
holds out that rhyme.
The drum fill,
mm-hmm.
Just keep you waiting. That is an interesting way to end the song. You know, he kind of went with a actual intro and then no actual outro, and like cut the chorus or the verse in half.
Yeah.
Pretty odd, but it worked.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Man. It's such a moody song. Like, the more I listen to it, like, and maybe just that last part is really weighing on me, but I feel sexy after dark, and the way he like sings it, and the way mm-hmm. that everything like kind of resolves perfectly, like everything like slides either down or up, or like just maintains to meet it, you know, and make that last pretty chord.
Yeah.
Dang, what an interesting song. This is, I don't know, kind of a hard one, because, well, for lots of reasons, all the reasons we discussed.
Yeah.
But it's also a pretty short song. I mean, it flies by.
Yeah. 3 minutes 50 seconds.
Oh, man. So 4 minutes. Wow. Well, maybe it's the instrumental stuff
mm-hmm.
that, like, stretches it out. It doesn't seem like that.
No, it feels much shorter.
Man. Fun.
I find the like, note that he chooses for dark, that last dark, and maybe it's two notes. Kind of even splits that one word up. But I don't know, it's interesting or different than what it has been so far.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think it is two notes typically, and the last note is up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it bends up dark, and up arc is higher.
Yeah.
And this one, doesn't he kind of like I was saying, like, go down just a little run?
Yeah.
But it's much, I mean, significantly lower than where the D A R starts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Dang. Wow, what if I go first since I picked it?
Yeah.
And I had a whole, like, thing, a whole backstory for it.
Yeah, man, go for it.
I love how bold it is. Like, we talked about, it has a real intro, a true intro, a true instrumental part, and you're like, oh, man, this song's fun. Like,
yeah.
Some of the people we've compared him to, a lot of their music is that way also. Like, Leon Bridges, though this song's a little bit more bigger and, a little bit more bigger, wow. A little bit bigger and a little bit more bombastic and a lot more volume.
Yeah.
And also Chris Stapleton, very similar, I would say, or Marcus King Band or something like that. Like, those kinds of acts that are retro yet authentic, to me, it's like fun. It's like, dude, I wish this was in a movie, but secretly, if no one will put it in a movie, like, I wish I could star in the movie with this music, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, very soundtrack kind of stuff. It's just mm-hmm. so good. And to me, this song kind of is that same way. I love that intro, and I love the way he comes in so confident.
Yeah.
And he, to me, sings older than he is,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't know what that is. Maybe, like I said, retro, yet authentic. He just, you know, grew up on that kind of music.
Yeah.
Because he's still a fairly young guy, but to me his voice is so, like, mature and seasoned. But I think overall the drums are doing this kind of country shuffle thing. There's some real atmospheric, dirty sounding, like, reverb dimed out kind of guitar, that low guitar that is in the very intro in the I Feel Sexy After Dark. So musically it is really like messing with your head and messing, you know, I guess messing with your emotions if you let it. But I think it, I think the narrator, like I said, is kind of picking on himself and also being a little, like, picking on himself to cope with the things that he's admitting. Like, my conscience finds it hard to see. And then I'll share pieces of my heart. And then fewer words make me sound so smart.
Mm.
Like, That's just a great idea. The old adage, you can't get in trouble for what you don't say. I don't think that's always true, but whatever. That I like that idea, I guess, is a jumping off point. So I think it's so complicated to be like, I'm making fun of myself and I'm going ahead and telling people this thing about me. Just like letting people see this facet of my personality. But I don't think it's really like too funky or too aggressive or too fun or too like party, you know? I mean, you mentioned Tennessee Whiskey. I'm sure people love that song. I'm sure when Tennessee Whiskey starts, it's like people cheer, people go crazy, but it would be awkward if the cheers and like the same woo and all that stuff continued the whole song. And it's not that kind of song. And I think this is the same thing. I could see it live, people being like so into the solos and be like, oh man, that's awesome. But I think if you're honest there and you back up a step, the whole feel is not that exciting or not that much of a fight song. And so I gotta say, even though it's a noisy ballad, I think it's overall a ballad. And so I say love song.
Cool. Yeah, it is interesting and complicated, like you said, because he's leaning into this confidence, but in a kind of self-deprecating way, because if you feel sexy after dark, that suggests that you don't really otherwise. And a cool, almost like thought experiment that he's playing with that of like confidently putting himself down, and being vulnerable too. Like I'll share pieces of my heart. And the rhythm isn't very in your face. There's a couple parts where there's these like fun, but like, you know, spaced out drum fills. Like it's not 16th notes. They're almost like just little flams on toms. Even the last one, before the final dark. So those are kind of lazy, and I'm not sure if I mentioned that the saxophone felt like kind of lazy, and deliberate, but just kind of like floating through the notes. So I think he's trying to play with like self-love and like acceptance, even though it does kind of put himself down to be specifying when he feels sexy. So I think he's kind of playing with loving himself, and so I also have to say love song, because it's not. There's nothing that I can think of that it's fighting against, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get me like worked up or make me want to move around a whole lot. And if I did, it would be like very flaily and slow.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's not, yeah. Dancing to it would be like, I think a lot of people struggle to find how to dance to it or find the rhythm in it. Man, yeah, nice. Well said, yeah, that was great. You brought a lot of stuff. I mean, I was taking it as obvious, but I'm so glad you said it, that saying a certain time of day by default means you don't afterwards. Do you feel not sexy, like the opposite, or do you feel something else entirely, you know? That's, yeah, that's so cool. Nice.
Yeah, it's a really good pick, though. I was kind of not really sure where to go with it or where he was going with it. Kind of until we started recording and talking through it. So it's an interesting pick for sure.
Cool. Well, we hope y'all enjoyed it, and check out the rest of his music. I think he's got what it takes to be like the next Marcus King or the next even Chris Stapleton, which
Yeah,
is so cool.
this is new to me, but I'm excited. I'm gonna check him out.
We appreciate y'all as always for listening and watching. It means a lot.
Yeah,
And we
thanks so
hope
much.
y'all had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And Cam, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
We'll talk to y'all again next week.